Welcome to Dancin' Moon Songcast. I'm Scott Simpson, casting from Dancin' Moon Studio in Spearfish Canyon on the north end of the Black Hills of South Dakota, right on the banks of the Spearfish Creek. If you'd like to follow along, you can download a free PDF of my lyric book from scottsimpsonmusic.com/lyrics. And of course, you can find links to all my music there as well. So let's get casting and find out what song we're going to talk about this time. Well, on this week's episode of Dancin' Moon Songcast, we're going to be talking about Who Sings This Song from 2013's Edge of the Known LP. This is a song that has the most plays of any of my songs, particularly on YouTube, but also on Apple Music, as well as and pretty high up there on Spotify. So we'll listen to Who Sings This Song and then talk about it on the other side.
Sings this
So as I said, who sings this song has gotten quite a number of plays compared to a number of my other songs. The music video, I'll include a link to that on the podcast page. The music video has had somewhere close to 12,000 views, which is not a lot by some standards, but it's quite a few. And I think because of the nature of the song, and I'll give a little bit about the history. It's a fairly simple song. When I was working on the album Edge of the Known in 2013, it was a really an album celebrating the natural environment around the area where I live, the Black Hills, and here in South Dakota, and just kind of celebrating that in a number of different ways, and making a point about a few particular issues. This particular song, I really began by saying, "Hey, I'd like to, you know, I want to write a something that's sort of an anthem, sort of a rock anthem," and so that's what I had in my head, and what came fairly naturally to me was my my concern about the fairness and the equity of land in our area in relation to the indigenous people of our area. I do a lot of work in education and have interviewed well over 100 Native elders from tribes across South Dakota and North Dakota, and had a number of wonderful interactions with those communities. And so their concerns about broken treaties and about issues around land and around, particularly, you know, around land concerning the Black Hills in our region. Those are concerns for me, and how unfair many of those boundaries came about in unfair ways. So that issue was really at in my mind when I initially wrote the song, and I'll go ahead and go through the song and talk about those issues, and then I'll talk about then in 2016, 3 years later, when I put out the video. That's really when the song took off because of being linked to a particular incident. So we begin, who owns this land? Who owns this land? Who owns this land? Who took it from these hands? One of the key ideas for Native people is has to do with land ownership. Traditionally, there was not a sense of ownership of land. You didn't own the piece of ground that you lived on or that you hunted on. It was a very different perspective. The land was a relative. The earth itself was Unchi Maka, Grandmother Earth. And as a relative, you had a mutuality. She took care of you. You took care of her. You dealt with her in respectful ways. And there was a spirituality about all of your engagement, whether it was with the earth, the dirt, the rocks, the other nations around you, the trees, the nations of four-leggeds and winged and fish, and all of the other nations around you, you dealt with them in particular ways, respectful ways. And so it's a very different sense than the Western, the very Western and European sense for those who are coming over as immigrants of, well, I get my plot of land and I mark it off and this is mine. I own this section here. I own it, I've bought it, or I've worked hard for it, and it's mine to do with what I want. That wasn't a perspective of the indigenous people. No land was yours to do with what you wanted. You had a responsibility to respect any piece of land in a particular way. So the next stanza, who built this fence? Who built this fence? Who built this fence? Who's been in and who's been out ever since? So the fences that we build, two kinds of fences here, I think, in my mind as I was writing. You know, there's the fence that says, this is mine. I own this. You stay out of it. This is mine. It's my property. But there's another sense of fences. You know, when all of these treaties were made, when reservations, and we have nine of them in South Dakota, when these reservations were made, essentially they were fenced in areas, not always literally, but they were boundaried, and part of the initial piece of that was, you Lakota Dakota people, you stay in and on your reservation. Essentially, and I've had an elder describe it to me as a prisoner of war camp. You know, another elder told me about uncles that she had when she was young that she knew of who got arrested simply for leaving the reservation. The fences, the boundaries, the agreed upon boundaries that were created by, you know, the U.S. government essentially, became prison walls. That still has resonance today. The laws aren't the same. People can come and go freely on the reservation. But that sense of imprisonment, of the agreed upon territory becoming a prisoner of war camp, that still has resonance today. Who broke the peace? Who broke the peace? Who broke the peace? When's this occupation ever going to cease? You know, it's interesting because in the American mythos, we think of the Great West as this great open, wide open land up for the taking. You know, there were signs and posters, free land, just come. You just have to work it. You know, it's yours. It's free. And that's not really true. This land was not just wide open. It was, if not owned by, it was a relative of and taken care of by the indigenous people who lived in the area, who were used to having others, you know, and there were certainly skirmishes and things like that, but they recognized that the land is not owned by someone. We two-leggeds and our various groups, we move along it and we try to be respectful of it and we try to be respectful of each other. And the skirmishes came up when someone was not being respectful. But to say, hey,
We're coming in now. This is ours. Is like an occupying army. Thankfully, nowadays, I think a lot of people are making statements about at an event that acknowledging that the land we're on is the traditional land of a particular indigenous group, and recognizing their elders and recognizing their elders who have passed away and that sort of thing. But that recognition has been long coming. There's still this mythos that, the great American West was just this wide open, nobody's land, no man's land. You could come in and get it for free if you were ready to work hard. There were people here who had learned to live in this land for centuries. And unfortunately, when the immigrants came in, they were a little slow about learning the lessons that the people who had been here for the longest had learned over centuries and knew. Rather, it was more of a get out of the way, stay over there. We're doing what we want here. When's this occupation ever going to cease? I don't think it's a matter of people having to leave. I think it's a matter of when our coexistence feels less like an occupation, like an occupying army, less like less like that and more like neighbors. And I think we're moving in that direction. Who sings this song? Who sings this song? Who sings this song? How loud are we going to sing it? And how long? This comes, the inspiration for the title and for this stanza and for the really for the rest of it, which is almost entirely, who sings this song? How loud are we going to sing it? And how long? How long must we sing this song? How long? How long must we sing this song? Two inspirations for that. First and foremost, the Psalms. And then second of all, an inspirational a group for myself who was inspired by the Psalms, which is, of course, you two, Bono being the lyricist. And so this becomes a unifying anthem, inviting people to sing this song, to ask these questions. Who owns this land? Who built this fence? Who broke the peace? And how long do we have to deal with this? And who will join us in singing this song? An important question. So in 2016, then the Sacred Stone camp was established in North Dakota. I was fortunate enough to visit it. And in relation to the water rights battles, the water protectors, as they call themselves, looking out for really for all of us who are dependent upon this wonderful thing called the Ogallala Aquifer, all of this wonderful clean water that was at risk and still is at risk of being damaged, dirtied, ruined by oil pipelines, various oil pipelines coming through the area. And so the water protectors formed that camp in protest sort of rallied under the Lakota phrase, Mniwichoni, which is water is life. And at the time in 2016, then things came to a head, and the corporate entities planning to build the pipeline came out to the camp with in violent ways, with dogs, and they tore things up, and they overran sacred burial sites, and so this was all captured in our news, and really brought the attention to this issue across the country. So at the time, I was just heartbroken about it. I was able to visit the camp and particularly to visit the school that they had set up there for the children, and it was a beautiful place and many wonderful people there. And it was a particular and a special time of unifying thought for Indigenous people and many others, neighbors, friends, and it was a wonderful time. But I was inspired by that, and then I realized, okay, well, I have this song, and then I was watching the striking video of this attack on the camp, and I thought those two things need to come together. So I put together the video that you can see by following the link that's there on the podcast page, and so this particular song, I think, became a part of this set of wonderful creative works that grew out of that particular political event and continue to have resonance, I think, as we move forward as a country. And these fights are not over by any means, and so they continue. But I think to have an anthem, to have something that brings us together and says, here are the questions we're asking, let's ask them together, let's ask them louder, and let's ask them until we get answers, and until we end this occupation, until we live as neighbors and relatives on this land, not as occupiers and the occupied. So that's perhaps why the song has had some. Had some legs, has gotten a number of streams. So thank you again for spending some time talking about this this particular song, Who Sings This Song, from 2013's Edge of the Known. You can hear all my music at scottsimpsonmusic.com. It's there for links for streaming and for purchase, and are all there. You can also find my lyrics there as well. Thank you for joining me on Dance and Moon Songcast. Be well.